And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Welcome inside the Classic Factory. I'm Leilis here solo today. None of my friends are here. Well, JD's here, of course. He's always in here. But none of the other guys are here, Trey, Tass, and Skeets, because I am popping packs. Again, popping packs with by myself, 90s basketball cards, and today I have a special guest. He's a very special guest. He's so special, he's been on once before. In fact, he's changed his nationality since he was last on. He was Canadian, and now he is American. His name is Ariel Helwani. Ariel, welcome back to Popping Packs. Now, are you Canadian, American? What's going on? I saw you posted something the other day. You became a citizen. Is that right?
Yes, and it is so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me once again. In fact, I was wondering, Lee, when you would have me back. I chalked it up to me doing so well and embarrassing all the others that you didn't want to have me back, and I totally understand. I am Canadian-American.
Right.
I'm a Can-Am connector right here, so I'm bringing the two countries together. I will forever be Canadian in my heart, but yes, as of this past Tuesday, I am officially American as well. Much like our good friends Skeets and Tass, you know, we are all living the American dream here. But
that's right.
I think I could speak for them when I say Canada in our hearts.
Always number one there. Yes. Now, you talked about last time you were on. You're right. I've had other guests like Nate Jones, John Schumann on, Shea Serrano. And there was some talk about maybe having like a March Madness style sort of face-off, you know, against, you know, some of you guys getting in there and having it out. And I know you're pretty confident in your abilities, though. So you think you'd be a number one seed if that was the case, if we were to get a bracket going?
Actually, you're incorrect. Not pretty confident. Very confident. Extremely confident. I think I would 10-7 all of those guys. I think I would run through the competition. You know, everyone, you know, considers me the fighting guy, the combat guy.
Right.
Long before I ever even knew what mixed martial arts was, I was supporting this man right here.
Oh, number
33.
Yeah.
Tri-captain from Georgetown. Patrick Ewing. I was supporting that man. All right. And so I could tell you all about 90s basketball. I mean, I consumed it all. It was my life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can line up all those jabrones all you want. I'm running the table.
This is great. You're really sort of playing the heel card here as well.
Oh, well, they don't call me heel Wani for nothing. Okay. Heel Wani number one.
Well, this is great. And, you know, you are rocking your Patrick Ewing. I had to bring out my John Starks for the occasion here as well because, listen, I mean, nothing says 90s basketball more than Patrick Ewing and John Starks. And, well, you know, just before we get into it, I'm sure, I know without even asking you this question, that you saw Chris Herring's and read Chris Herring's incredible book, Blood in the Garden.
I have it right here.
Yeah. What did you think? I mean, give us your quick sort of take on it. Obviously, it was incredible.
You know what's my biggest complaint about the book? I wish it was longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like savoring every page. I couldn't get enough of it. It was so nostalgic for me. I mean, that is, I will never be a bigger fan of a team than I was of those 90s Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, I adore those guys. And I didn't want it to end because it was taking me back. And, you know, I consider myself an Uber fan, especially of those teams. And I was learning a bunch of stuff. I think the insight from Dave Checketts, I can't say enough about it. Also, a couple weeks later, I ended up reading Charles Oakley's book, written by the great Frank Isola, formerly of the New York Daily News.
Yep.
And that that was an amazing trip down memory lane. And there was stuff in there that I obviously didn't read in Blood in the Garden. The only kind of bummer about that book is he doesn't really think so highly of Patrick anymore. So yeah. I feel a little conflicted about all of that. But yes, a lot of Knicks nostalgia, and thank God for it, because let's be honest, it hasn't exactly been a banner year for the orange and blue.
It started off all right. We had the Bing Bong video there and the huge...
I was never down with the Bing Bong. Let
no?
me just say, everyone was trying to like will that into existence, trying to make that into a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing. It's like people still talk about Knicks tape. Knicks tape was one season.
Yeah.
It happened. Like there is no Knicks tape anymore. And Bing Bong was like one little cute video after they beat the Celtics on opening night. And that was it. I hated it, but yes, I will admit the Kemba deal, I convinced myself it was going to be the greatest thing, that he was going to turn back the clock. It was going to be amazing. The step back, all that. I was down with Fournier. I was down with all the moves.
Yeah.
And it has been very disappointing.
Have you been to the Garden for a few games at all?
This year, I have not. I actually went more last year than this year, as hard as it was to go last year. It has been tough for me. And also, they depress me. Like, this might be, and I know this would be hard to understand if you're like, what? But, you know, they're not that bad. You know, look at the last 20 years. This is one of the more depressing Knicks seasons of my entire fandom.
Right.
You still have me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because of all the expectations that I had,
yes,
all the like the buzz, the good feelings, the good vibes. Last year was one of my favorite years because they came out of nowhere. It's the pandemic. We're depressed. They're playing in an empty Madison Square Garden. It's like, oh my God, Julius Randle, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
And so we thought that they were going to build off of that. And yes, they lost a few pieces, Reggie Bullock, etc. But I mean, come on, it was the same exact team. The young guys are older, all that stuff. And so my expectations were so high. And so to see them just kind of floundering around like 11 seed, 12 seed, 10 seed, it's very deflating. So yeah, I would actually chalk this up to be one of the most depressing Knicks seasons of the last 20 years, because I really truly felt, all right, 4 seed, made the playoffs. Could we get to 3?
Yeah.
Could we win a playoff series this time? And, you know, none of that is happening.
Yeah, and the team they lost to, the Hawks, obviously we're down here in Atlanta. I thought it was a great series, you know, getting, you know, Trae Young getting the boos, but going out there performing for his first ever playoff game, getting the floater there in the Garden. I thought both these teams were going to be like jostling for that fourth position in the Eastern Conference. But as you've seen with the Hawks, they're in that same sort of, they're probably going to make the play-in tournament here, but the Knicks, you know, to be well and truly out of it right now. I mean, do you think Thibs is going to be back next season? I mean,
the other thing. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the hot seat. Like, I was ready to build a statue for this guy. He's the one that righted the ship, former assistant coach in the 90s.
Yeah.
I love Coach Thibs. And I don't know. It's like, have the players tuned him out? Now, the thing is, like, okay, you know, Julius had the incredible season. I thought he was in the MVP race. Obviously, yep, he wins most improved. Then he has the horrible playoff. And I was the one saying, oh, the playoffs were the anomaly. He's the guy from the regular season. But now I'm starting to wonder. And he has been playing really well as of late.
Yeah.
So I don't quite think he's as bad as the playoff Julius.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he'll ever be as good as the regular season Julius. I still have hope. Of course, I love my fellow Canadian RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
I love Mitchell Robinson. There are some bright spots. Emmanuel Quickley is great. I really do think it boils down to Derrick Rose. And I think he was what got them to where they ended up last year. He was that like final piece that they needed to make that run and to, you know, surprise so many people. And his injury this year has really hurt them. I think they really truly miss his leadership, his you know, just like the guy has been through it all, he has done it all, he has seen it all, and not having him I think really hurt them. So I don't know, at this point I'm conflicted. Like, do I want them to make a run? Sure. I've never been a tanker. I don't like that. I don't support that. Would it be fun to see a play-in tournament and maybe they win that and they can, you know, squeak by? Sure. But it feels like something's missing right now and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, it's just that they just don't have the same intensity. I mean, the defense was great last year. It's just not there. They just don't, they you know, maybe they snuck up on a few teams last year. Again, shortened 100%. Season, bit of the COVID stuff there. But I don't think anyone thought they'd be this bad. I didn't think they were going to be significantly better, but I certainly didn't think they would be stuck in this position they are now, which is not good.
Can I throw out a theory for
please
you?
Please do,
I actually,
please.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
I actually think they benefited greatly from playing in empty arenas early on.
Right.
Especially in New York, there's no pressure, there's no celebrity row, there's no nothing. And they were just, you know, sort of like the Heat in the bubble 2 years ago. You know, you're just balling out, right? You're in an empty gym. And I think a lot of these guys didn't know any better. I mean, you see like Quickley and Obi Toppin, of course, and Julius. And I think the fact that they were at MSG and that was cool, but they were playing in front of no one helped them exceed expectations. And then you see what happens in the playoffs. All the fans came back and they kind of crumbled. And of course, the Hawks, you know, and their schemes and their game planning had a lot to do with that. But it was like one of those weird things where I think this young team of you know, a collection of scrap parts actually benefited from the fact that there was no one there. Some teams, I think, were flat because no one was there.
Right.
I think they actually succeeded because no one was there.
Yeah. I mean, it just was great, though, with the Knicks last season. Like, again, there are some people who are like, I don't care if the Knicks are good. I prefer them to be losing. But I do think it's better for the league and for the rest of the NBA when the Knicks are good, because you want to beat a good Knicks team. you know, what the Hawks did in the playoffs was like, they upset them because the Knicks had a home court advantage. And it was an incredible series. Even though it was only five games, it was still great. And it was like, okay, now we're no longer just like, you know, the Knicks not even going to make the playoffs. It's like, maybe they're back and maybe they're going to get better. So it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, hopefully it will continue. Now, just, sorry, before we move on as well, you must have obviously seen the game there last night, Brooklyn and Philadelphia. I mean, how do you feel about the Nets right now? I mean, I know you're a Knick, but do you become a Net if the Knicks aren't good, or are you
No. That's crazy talk. No, that is absolute crazy talk. If I am going to root for another Eastern Conference team, if the Knicks are not a factor, it would obviously be Toronto.
Right.
Just for my home country, a very likable team. I mean, that's like you think they're rebuilding, and then they, you know, all of a sudden here they are, you know, what are they, 7-6?
Yeah. 8,
like, you know, they're going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of if they can, avoid that play-in. They're very easy to root for. Scotty Barnes, what a great draft pick that was. Obviously, Fred is a tremendous talent. OG is amazing. They're just fun. So basically, I would root for them. I'm always going to be a Knicks fan till I die. The Nets, I don't know how to feel about those dudes. That was a tremendous – I mean, that was a 10-7 beatdown.
Yeah.
Philly didn't show up. And I got to say, I don't think anyone would have been surprised – or would have begrudged Ben Simmons if he didn't show up. He didn't have to show up. In fact, the last two games prior, he did not show up. He didn't sit on the bench. To show up, to warm up, to sit there and take that kind of abuse, I actually think benefited Brooklyn. And they were all like, we're going to win for this guy. We're going to come out there and shove this down their throats. That was a demoralizing victory for, loss for Philadelphia. At home, to not show up, to let those guys spank you, considering the history between them, considering the beef between Embiid and KD. I think KD played phenomenally well. Curry was he's a huge piece of that deal and a great pickup for the Nets. So I think what I love about the East this year is that it's wide open. If you tell me like the Nets are going to make the finals, I'll believe you. If you tell me the Bucks are making the finals, I'll believe you. If you tell me that the Bulls are going to go on a run like Atlanta, who I know fell short last year, but they could go on a run like the Suns of last year and make it to the finals, I'll believe you. Sixers can turn it around. The Heat are obviously a factor. So I love this. I love when it's, you know, it was getting kind of boring there a few years ago when it was Warriors and Cavs every year. So I'm excited for the playoffs, even though, you know, the Knicks are not going to be a factor.
No, but you're right. It is open, and that's what's great. You mentioned those teams there. You can rattle off easily five or six teams that have got a legit chance, I think, to at least make the conference finals if things bounce their 100%. Way. Like the Hawks last season. I mean, they're the only team still that beat the Bucks at home last year in the playoffs. That was a game one. Trae Young, I think, had the 48 in that game. So, you know, that's great for the league when you're seeing a few new faces and a few younger teams, new teams in there competing. So, well, that's great. I mean, we could just sit here and talk NBA.
Oh, this is great. Yeah, what else you got? You want to talk some Western Conference? Should we talk about that? No. The NBA is great. It is my mistress. It's like every day I'm thinking I'm a man, but like I actually enjoy being a fan, and I've gotten a chance to like dabble and do some things here and there.
Well,
but the fact,
we miss you on the sidelines.
I thought you
did an awesome job when you went and you filled in for those few games there. And I remember you sort of tweeting and Instagramming and saying like you were just a kid basically who was holding the mic at courtside, and you did an incredible job.
Honestly, the more time passes from doing that, it feels like I didn't actually do it.
Right.
I felt like, did I really get to do a Christmas game in Toronto?
Yeah.
Did I get to interview Kawhi Leonard on the court after his first triple-double against the Heat? Like, surreal. And then, like, was I going to lunch with Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy before a game? Like, what? How does this happen? It really still feels like I want some sort of fantasy camp, contest where I get to hang out with these guys for a day. So, that by far the greatest, I don't work for ESPN anymore. That was the greatest experience at ESPN, getting to do those games, and I'll forever be grateful for it.
And now here you are talking about old 90s cards with me online here on YouTube. So, well, listen, let's get into it here because I remember when we had you on last time and we went through a couple of packs. So what we can do here is I've brought some packs. I'll hold them up and then you can pick which one you want to open there. So you can sort of lean into whatever you feel is your, strongest era. I know the whole 90s is basically covered, but I've got some, this is like an NBA Jam session one from 93, 94. Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's giving me like tingles inside just seeing that.
We've got 1999, 2000 cards there. So okay. A little bit later in the decade. Then what have I got here? These ones are Topps Basketball from 92, 93. I've got some other Victory ones here from 2000, 2001. And then I got a couple more. Skybox from 91, 92. And Upper Decks also from 91, 92. So... Oh.
I haven't seen those. By the way, can I just say, we have upped the production value since the last time we did this. I mean, the last time you did this, you were outside Instagram Live in the midst of the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
Really depressing times. Look at you now. I mean, you guys have come a long way. So much respect.
Yeah, that's right. Last time it was just because we had nothing else to talk about. There was no basketball going on. So we had to find something. And now it was so good, we've brought it back during the real stuff. So
I love it.
Yeah.
NBA Jam.
NBA Jam. Great choice. Great choice. Yeah. 93, 94.
I love those long cards.
Yeah. These are okay. So there's 12 in here. It's a premiere edition, they're saying. And what have they got on the back here? So there's four limited edition insert sets as well. Second year players, game breakers. That's interesting. Rookie standouts and slam dunk heroes. I tell you, one thing wasn't great was the slam dunk contest this year. I'm sure you
Then it was great. What year is that?
This one is 93, 94. So I think that was Harold Miner.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you something about Harold Miner?
Please do.
I was obsessed with Harold Miner, even though I was a Knicks fan. Because remember, back then the Heat weren't really a factor, so it was okay to be – I had his jersey. It was a big deal when I got it. And I remember the All-Star game in 93, I believe it was in Minnesota – he had his big breakout, and I asked my teacher, 93, I was in fifth grade, I asked my teacher if one of the upcoming lunches we could roll out. I don't know if you had this in your school. We're around the same age. I'm 39. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 46. I'm a little bit older, but yeah.
Look at you. You look fantastic. Well done. Well, we had this like massive TV on a cart, and they would like roll it into the classroom if you wanted to watch a movie. So I was like, can I show the class the 1993 slam dunk competition, because it's amazing. It's Baby Jordan.
Yeah, that's right.
And they let me do it, and we all watched it. It was the TNT feed taped via TSN, because I was living in Montreal, and TSN would get the TNT, and we all watched it. I love that guy, and I was on a mission, actually, and I still have him, because I thought he would be the next Jordan. I got every single one of his rookie cards.
Yeah.
I think collectively they're now worth 15 cents, but I was a big Harold Miner fan. I remember the announcer saying, Miner is finer on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Great stuff.
He threw down that reverse double pump, I remember.
It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. He was. Everyone sort of fell in love with him, I think, because it was like, wow, Baby Jordan, he's got the dunks. Can he live up to it? But his career barely lasted, I think, five seasons, I think, in the end. He didn't last all that long, but... yeah, he was awesome there. I think 93 was actually Utah, Salt Lake City. And I think 94 was Minnesota for the All-Star weekends.
But he won 90. Yes, you're right.
He won two, I think. He won 94.
He won back-to-back. But I think the first one was – the Utah one was the big one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So good.
You're okay.
But this doesn't count.
That doesn't count. That's a bonus. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention.
For the Harold Miner.
Minnesota, three Knicks made it. Ewing, Oakley, Starks.
That's right. That was the only one that Oak made, and probably Starks as well. Mm-hmm. Kenny Anderson was in the backcourt as well in that one.
Yeah,
he started. Okay, first one's good guy. Good one. This guy was a very high draft pick, and he was a very high player. He was super, super high, as in height. He never really, unfortunately, lived quite up to that billing. In fact, one of his most memorable moments is Tracy McGrady dunking on him in the playoffs there. Was it in the playoffs? I can't quite remember.
Sean Bradley.
Yeah, there he is.
The big man.
Yeah, the number two pick. That. Yeah, giant. He was in NBA Jam. Was that 96, wasn't it, I guess, when that one came
didn't
in?
Didn't he just have like a horrific accident?
Ugh, I believe he's a paraplegic, I believe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which is really sad news for him. But, Sean Bradley.
Lele, tilt it slightly. So.
Oh, okay.
The voice of God here.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah, that's nice.
That's better. That's
nice. Okay, great. Okay, next one. Wow, we just... just talking about this guy, he started it for the Eastern Conference in the 1994 All-Star Game in Minnesota. A big man out of Syracuse, drafted by the New Jersey Nets. Number one pick in 1990.
DC,
yeah.
Derek Coleman.
Derek Coleman.
My guy.
He is. Yeah. He went on to play with, the Sixers, the Hornets.
Yeah. Obviously with Kenny Anderson, there was a lot of buzz about those two guys. Never quite lived up to expectations.
Yep. One of the very few guys who actually dunked on Shaq too. I think it was Shaq's rookie season. There's a great play there in East Rutherford where Derek Coleman dunks on him, and then he sort of points at Shaq as if to say, because Shaq would have, Shaq would have been the rookie then. So he's like, you ain't blocking me, Rook. Get out of here. Great. Okay, next one. This other guy was also a one-time All-Star in 1997. So this one's going to test you out a little bit here.
Okay. By the way, do you know that? Like the 97 thing, is that off the top of your head?
Yes.
How the hell do you remember who made what team?
Well, I think you'll remember too when you get this guy, okay, because he's one of those guys that's like, how was that guy an All-Star? But he had a really decent season there.
I think I know what you're going to say, but I think I'm going to be wrong. There's a guy. Okay, we'll see if it's a. There's a guy in my head right now who it's like, I always have to remind myself he was an All-Star once, but I think it's a little too soon for what you're saying.
Right.
Sorry, continue.
Okay, Golden State Warriors. I think he was sort of a swingman, probably more a forward than a guard. And out of New Jersey, not the team, but that's where he was from. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys who's like, you look back at those All-Star teams, you're like, man.
In that year, he was a Warrior?
In 97, he was a Warrior, yes. Yeah. Probably played, I guess, with Sprewell in that season there.
In 97? Yeah. So I'm not... Because the guy, honestly, the guy I thought you were going to say, but I think it's a little too soon, was Chris Gatling.
Ah, you got to go with your gut there, Aria. That's
it
right.
It was Chris Gatling.
Yeah,
oh,
Chris
wow.
Chris Gatling, yeah.
Chris Gatling, yeah. I thought that's an... Yeah. How the hell? Just because you said, you remember he was a part of that massive deal?
Yes.
He had a great, I think he was on Dallas, right? Or
that's
he got
right.
traded to Dallas. He also had a big scar on his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he only make one All-Star team?
I'm pretty sure he only made one because,
I'm actually impressing myself here. Yeah. Chris Gatling. Wow. Legend. I love these guys so much.
Oh, I know.
Oh, this is
I just
so
love
great.
These cards as well, man. They
I love everything about it.
They're so clean. They're so fresh. And got some great stories there. Okay, great. This next one, I love this guy. Former Raptor, but he was more known on another team, especially for an All-Star weekend in the early 90s where he had his biggest moment when he dominated in one of the events. Yes, of course. D. Brown. There he is there.
The Reebok pumps.
That's right. I had a pair of them. Did you grab a pair?
Of course.
Yeah.
Everyone had a pair back in the day. Can I tell you, like, those Celtics teams, again, they were pretty crappy. There was a channel. We would get a weird channel. I think it was like a UPN W. I would get like Mike Gorman and Tommy Heinsohn, and they were like the biggest homers. Yeah. But I really had a soft spot in my heart for Dana Barros.
I don't know why.
I love Dana Barros.
He was a
few of those guys,
All-Star.
Like Dana Barros, David Benoit, Antoine Carr. Like there's these like random dudes from the 90s that I always kind of had a soft spot in my heart for.
There's some great names you throw in there. Dave Benoit, I remember him
because there was
Benoit Benjamin from the Clippers.
Yes.
But again, I don't know if his name was pronounced Benoit Benjamin and we just all called him Benoit.
Benoit, that's
because
right.
Because it's spelt the same way as David Benoit. But I don't remember anyone really calling him Benoit Benjamin. I think it was Benoit.
No.
So,
another one I loved, Eric Murdoch.
Oh, yeah. Eric Murdoch. He was a Jazzman too, wasn't he?
And a Buck.
I think he was a Buck too, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, great. Next one here, Ariel. Another really good one because last night you saw, how can I say this? Last night a player had a game that really reminded you of this guy. Because this guy was shooting the ball beautifully last night, just like, in fact, his brother was also playing last night. So you saw there, if you went back.
Is it their dad?
Yeah, it's their dad, yeah.
Oh, Dell.
Yeah.
What's happening?
On the Hornets there, Big Dell Curry.
On the legend. Yeah. Still does the broadcast, right?
Yeah, he does. He and Eric Collins actually are one of the most enjoyable duos, because Eric Collins goes, you know, you talk about Tommy Heinsohn and Mike Gorman being homers. I mean, Eric Collins is as well, but in a really enthusiastic.
It's endearing.
Oh, my God, yeah. And it's great.
And shout out to Jeff Hornacek over there, former Knicks coach.
Yeah.
He's in the shot.
He's one season.
Dell's the man. I loved when Drake broke out the Dell Curry jersey for.
Yeah.
I think that was it game one of the finals?
It definitely was in Toronto, yeah.
Was it game one or two?
Yeah, game one or two, I think. Maybe it was game one because he was talking trash to Draymond afterwards, and then they lost game two. So
Right.
He probably wasn't saying so much. But Yeah, Jeff Hornacek, that was his one season in Philadelphia after the Charles Barkley trade. Then he went to Phoenix, I think, just after that. To Utah just after that.
Yep.
Okay, another one here. So talking about the blood in the garden, this guy was involved in one of the biggest trades that really sort of helped set up.
Okay, no, okay. I thought you were going in a different route there, okay.
This guy was actually from New York. He got traded and really did help the Chicago Bulls, and was a big, big trade. And you got to give Jerry Krause credit because he made it.
And to be clear, not a New Yorker. He was on the Knicks and went to the Bulls.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, Bill Cartwright.
Bill Cartwright. Dollar Bill, as he was known there.
One of the weirdest forms, Bill. Right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Like, it was bizarre. Yes.
Yeah. And
traded for Oakley. And what a great story. In the Oakley book, Oakley was at Tyson Spinks with Michael Jordan. Did you read the Oakley book?
No, I haven't seen that one, no.
Oh, you would enjoy it. I have it somewhere here.
Yeah.
Okay, I have it right here. Let me give a shout out to Frank Izzola because it's
one second. It's actually a really great read. It's called The Last Enforcer.
Right.
Charles Oakley. Forward by Michael Jordan, by the way.
Yeah.
They're good buds. He was at Tyson Spinks in, I believe, 1987 with MJ, and he was sitting next to him. And word comes through the media row that he has just been traded to the Knicks. And he's sitting with MJ. And in the book, he asks MJ, like, did you know about this? Like, we're buds. Did you know that this was in the works? And he's like, yeah, they kind of asked me about it, but I wasn't sure and I didn't want it. And he talks about how it was like a little bit awkward, but he believed that he didn't like stab him in the back.
Yeah.
Just like, I love stories like that.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, you see it. We've seen it just recently, actually, with Charles Oakley. Like the beef between him and Isaiah Thomas is still there. You know, he was saying how Isaiah just wanted to be like Michael. And then he was also saying about how, you know, Giannis would come off the bench. I mean, that's slightly different. But when Isaiah was asked about that on NBA TV, and he was really going back at Oakley. So you know there's still that bad blood there between them. Because Oakley, you're right, I don't think he holds it against Michael. I think he's still friends with him. But
very good friends.
Yeah, that's great. That fight, I remember that fight was huge, Tyson Spinks. That was a first-round knockout by Tyson. And oh, my God, he just destroyed him in that. He had him on the ropes too, and he just loaded up that right sort of uppercut and pulled out. If he'd unloaded that, he could have killed Spinks, I think. Like, it was just incredible, that fight.
Ferocious.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, is he coming back, Mike Tyson? Is he fighting again?
Well, he had that fight a couple of years ago against Roy Jones, in November of 2020, and he's still training. He said he's done.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think he'd come back in 2020 either, never count them out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing with most boxers, isn't it? They never really retire.
Right.
You know, just quickly before we move on here, what about Amir Khan? I think he's going to retire now, isn't he?
Yes, he just lost to Kell Brook over in the UK. Are you a big boxing fan?
Well, you know, I have followed it. You know, growing up in Australia, we used to have do you remember Jeff Fennec? Yeah, Kostya Zoo.
Yeah, of course.
I went to Kostya Zoo and Ricky Hatton in Manchester in 2005.
Wow.
Yeah, that
you
was
flew over?
Yeah, no, I was living in London at the time, so I went up to it. That was an incredible fight because Ricky Hatton would needed that fight, but Kostya Zoo was I can't remember his exact record going into it, but that went 11 of 12 rounds, and then Kostya Zoo couldn't come out off the stool, and it was just an incredible moment there to be in Manchester.
You got to experience when he comes at the Blue Moon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's legendary stuff.
It was an unreal weekend there, and that I remember being there for that, and then not too long after that, Hatton took on Floyd Mayweather in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and I put like $100 on Ricky Hatton. I thought, I think he's going to win. And, he just couldn't hit him. Floyd just, I mean, I'm talking to the expert here, but Floyd just, it was evading everything. And Ricky just ran out of punches to throw, I think. And then Floyd just landed a couple and it was all over.
Yeah. I mean, Floyd was when it comes to defensive boxing, maybe the greatest ever. And I know people don't love him, but you got to give him credit. But those Ricky Hatton fights were amazing. I mean, there's a rich history, and there's a new guy now, newish guy named George Kambosos. I don't know if you saw him. He beat Teofimo Lopez.
And that was a huge upset. I think he was like an 11-1 underdog or something like that. It was at the Hulu Theater,
right?
Attached to Madison Square Garden. And now the word is he's going to defend his titles that he just won in Australia, and they're going to go to some big stadium, 70,000, 80,000 people, and maybe a guy named Devin Haney is going to go over there and fight him. So wow. Yeah, he's great. A lot of great fighters. And in MMA, I don't know if you watch a lot of UFC, but there's a guy named Tai Tuivasa, yes, from Western Sydney, yep, with the shoey. Robert Whittaker is great. Yeah. There's a ton of great fighters.
Yeah, Robert Whittaker. I definitely know that name for sure. Because now, yeah, when I grew up, like, do you know Jeff Fennec? Do you know that name at all?
Yeah.
So he and Azuma Nelson fought in 1993, and it was a fight where Fennec won, but Don, mm-hmm, King sort of was behind the scenes, and it was a draw. And apparently, I saw this just on an Australian TV show the other day, they're going to go back and award the championship back to Jeff Fennec for some reason. I'd have to dig into it a little bit more, but that was an incredible fight because a whole of Australia was behind him, and I think in that fight he broke both of his hands and still beat him up. But it was, you know, it was a classic Don King moment to yes, he didn't want to have his guy lose. So it's great. But yeah, boxing was huge in Australia. I mean, you know, we used to all follow it, and especially the big heavyweights. I mean, you know, when Tyson and you know, Tyson fought Larry Holmes and Frank Bruno. I mean, I think he fought him twice, in fact. And yeah, poor old Frank Bruno, he was a huge man, but I've never seen a man that big look so scared in the ring.
I know.
Before a fight, like, just thinking, like, I might not survive this one. But
look up Tai Tuivasa. He's a huge fan favorite now in the UFC. Right. I think he's won 4 in a row, knocked them all out, just had a huge win last month against a guy who's from Houston in Houston.
Wow.
And every time he wins, he's gigantic. He's like 265. He walks around at like 310.
Yeah.
He wins, he gets on the cage like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Someone throws him a shoe. He pours the beer and he does on the cage.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's wild stuff. All right, back to the cards here. We've got a few more to go in this pack. Now, this guy was a big dookie. And I believe his nickname was Larry Bird without the nose when he was coming out of Duke. High draft pick by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Never really panned out, though, as sort of as high as he was billed.
Oh, Danny Ferry.
Danny Ferry, there you go. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Danny. I remember him because Andrew Gaze and Seton Hall knocked out Duke in 89.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was said, you know, this is the guy. They've got to stop Danny Ferry. But
yeah.
They couldn't stop Andrew Gaze. He was a
Australian legend.
That's right. We're getting some good Australiana sporting talking here. This is great. I didn't set it up this way, by the way.
No.
It's just natural. All right, this next guy, I'm sure you're going to love this guy because he did play a part of those Knicks teams in the early 90s. He came over in a trade, had a very, very big moment, in fact, in the book. He only played a couple of years there in New York. Was a point guard. And
point guard.
Yeah, he's now a color commentator for the team that he spent most of his career. In fact, he had his jersey.
I have a great moment with him. Number 20, Rolando Blackman.
No, not Rolando Blackman. The other
Derek Harper.
Derek Harper. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah. You could kind of go the same way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Kind of go the same way. Yeah. And actually, the moment that I was talking about was with Derek Harper. Both guys were Dallas guys. Both guys, point guards. Derek Harper was obviously the starter from Central Illinois, I believe. Derek Harper. Is it Central Illinois?
I think he's from Florida, actually, because I had him on once and he was talking about Vernon Maxwell and they were both from Florida. Let me see if...
Tremendous nostrils.
Yeah. No, you're right. His college was Illinois here. You're right. Derek Harper.
Oh, Illinois, not Central Illinois, right?
Yeah.
The first game that I ever did sidelines for...
Yeah.
It was Pelicans Mavs, and I'm super nervous, and I'm in the bathroom, and I'm at the urinal, and who the hell is standing next to me? Number 11 for the New York Knicks, Derek Harper. And wow. He's like, "What's up, man? How are you?" I'm like, "What the fuck?" Oh, sorry, I didn't mean
that's
to swear.
Fine, man. Let it fly. It's
I was
fine.
Like, "Jeez, Louise, Derek Harper." Like, this is I'm working with Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Porzingis is like, this is one of his first games back for the Mavs after the year off.
Yeah,
Derek Harper. I love that guy. He was clutch. Harper was clutch.
Yeah, and he had the big fight there with JoJo English.
Yes, and it was right in front of David Stern.
That's right, yeah.
That was the infamous Tony Kukoc game.
Yeah, that's right. And, people wondering, like, why is Derek Harper fighting him? But Yeah, that white line fever. Okay, this
now,
next
does
one.
That count? Am I still?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, Rolando again. Yeah, he came from Dallas to the Knicks. Guys. Yeah, close enough. Close enough. Now, this next one's a tough one because we get these occasionally. I've never even heard of this guy. I'm pretty sure he didn't last all that long in the NBA. He was out of Florida State. He was a forward. I'm just going to give you this one because I don't think I know him. Doug Edwards. Does that ring a bell for you at all?
Utah?
He's on the Hawks in the card here, but
he doesn't even have a team on his jersey. What's going on? Yeah. Doesn't even count.
One doesn't count. All right, this next one does count because this guy, he's one of those rare guys who only played with two teams throughout his career, right? But it wasn't like he played his entire career for you know all the seasons, and then at the end of his career he changed. He changed mid career. And then went back after one season to the team that he was originally on. He's got a very, very famous shot where he's basically stepping out of bounds, but he's not.
Sean Elliott,
yes.
What was that, the Memorial Day
That's
miracle?
Right. That's exactly
against
right.
Against the Trailblazers.
Yep. And where he's got a... technical...
He had a kidney issue, right?
That's right. He had a transplant. And I think that was... He was supposed to be traded to the Rockets. After he got traded to the Pistons, Rockets were like, we don't really know with this kidney what's going to happen. So,
and who's that over there? Is that Oliver Miller?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's right, yeah.
Former Raptor.
It says there, the preseason trade, which is interesting there. Crazy. All right, this next one. This guy is very known for one block. It's the most famous block of his career anyway, because the guy's going up to try to dunk on him. And this guy just says, nope, and he stops it in his hand, and then he sort of cups the ball.
Oh.
For the Denver Nuggets. You might.
LaFonso Ellis?
That's the one. Beautiful.
Let me tell you something about LaFonso Ellis.
Please.
One of the best things about working at ESPN, and you know about this, like, you know, working NBA TV and all that, you just see these random dudes walking around. This guy, LaFonso Ellis, might have been the nicest person that I ever met at ESPN. Just seeing him at the cafeteria. I think he's like a quasi fan of MMA and might have seen me on a broadcast and like came up to me and couldn't have been sweeter and nicer. I was like, you're LaFonso Ellis. You went to Notre Dame. You played for the Nuggets. I know. He's like, I don't know if you know, I used to play in the NBA. I'm like, what? Of course I know who you are. crazy life.
That's crazy because I don't remember seeing him on any, like, has he been an analyst or something like that?
Yeah, he's a great college basketball analyst.
Oh, college basketball. Okay, yeah. That explains.
He still works for them.
Right. Awesome. All right, well, you're definitely going to get this last guy here because this guy was super famous in the 90s. Should be in the Hall of Fame. He was nominated, I think, this year, but didn't make it. And, had a huge role in the rivalry against the Knicks in the late 90s here. And his son, he's not playing right now, but he's out injured. His son has been a Knick. And,
the UTEP two-step.
Oh, yeah, the UTEP two-step.
I hated him. God, did I hate him. Yeah. I hated him. Now, I liked him on the Warriors. He was super cool on the Warriors, but golly, I was just recently reminiscing about the 1997 series. Of course, New York up 3-1. They have that brawl in game 5. Remember P.J. Brown and Charlie Ward?
Oh, yeah.
And this guy freaking killed them in game 7. Horrible, horrible.
Was that the game he hit 7 threes or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah,
I know there's a great video out there of him just getting so hot. Marv, I think, is on the call, and he's just firing away, and the crowd is going nuts. And yeah, tough for a Knicks fan to watch, but for that.
And if I'm being honest, I never wanted his son. I couldn't get behind him. I just couldn't. The name. If it was like, you know, Jim Hardaway, maybe, but I can't root for him. I just can't do it.
It would have been great.
I think he's an assistant coach, right? Is he still with the Pistons?
No, I don't think so anymore. No, he was with Stan Van Gundy, but I shot around with him in Melbourne in Australia a few years ago when Team USA was in Australia for the pre-World Cup games, and Tim Hardaway was there. And he crossed me up, and then I crossed him up, and it was, you're talking about experiences with people, like, you know, having a piss with Derek Harper, saying to Tim Hardaway, hey, can you cross me up, and then can I cross you up? And he's like, sure, let's do it. And, you know, he doesn't quite move as quickly as he did, but one of those awesome experiences. And, Yeah, he's great. He's, in fact, he may be coming on here at some point for to pop some packs too. We've been talking to some people. Yeah, we're not sure if it's going to happen or not, but hopefully it can happen. But okay, well let's take a quick break, Ariel. If you can stick around for, and we'll open another pack. Why not? And talk some more hoops. So guys, stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes.
There are so many things I wish we could have both ways. For example, a zero-calorie cheeseburger. How about red wine without the headache? A dog that never poops. That'd be heaven. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords, stiff chinos, rather than effortless comfort. But it's possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. I'm sorry, Don Draper. This is 2024. I want to look good and feel comfortable. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I got a little bit of everything. The air-knit boxer briefs are so good. The Ace sweatpant, mad comfy, but also great tailored fit. And because this is the summer of Henleys, yeah, I'm calling it, it's the summer of Henleys, you know I threw a few of them in my virtual shopping cart. Peacocking is for the birds, baby. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention to themselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. They're not flashy, just classic. Sort of like a No Dunks podcast. Always in style, always crazy comfortable. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back to the Classic Factory. Here, Lee Ellis in the studio with JD, of course, and my special guest, the biggest Knicks fan you'll ever know, Ariel Helwani. Ariel, great job in the first pack. I think apart from the Doug Edwards, which we'll give you a pass on, I think, what was that, 14 for 15? Was it 15? 12. 11 for 12. 11 for 11, we'll call it, eh?
I mean, I was going to say Doug Edwards. You kind of gave me the pass. I didn't ask you the pass, so I'm going 12 for 12.
All right,
has anyone gone undefeated?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. So
let's do this.
Yeah, I should go back and check and get the leaderboard going out there, because again, I know, you know, Nate and Shay and those guys, they're like, hey, I know more than this guy. So, you know, all right. So, well, let's go with another pack here. Now you can choose again. We've got 92, 93 tops. We've got Skybox 91, 92 upper decks, or we can go a little bit closer to sort of the turn of the century here with a couple from the 2000s.
What year is upper deck?
Upper deck is 91, 92.
Let's go with that 92, 93.
92, 93 tops. Okay. Perfect. All right. Let's see how it goes here.
I love this.
Yeah. There's no gum in here, I don't think. That's funny. I've never found a pack that's had gum in it. But anyway.
Probably for the better.
Okay. Well, this first one, well, it's a bit of a sad one, actually, because this guy is no longer with us. But he was a very good player in the 90s. He was the sixth man of the year. And he used to rock a headband. He was one of the first guys to sort of bring back the headband.
One of those dudes that I held in high regard as well, Cliff Robinson.
That's the one. Cliffy Robinson. Yeah. Sadly left us.
Legend.
Yeah.
I love those Blazers teams.
Yeah.
They were fun.
And he came off the bench there and, you know, for a couple of trips to the finals. Certainly, where are we? There we go. 1990, nice. Cliffy Robinson.
Oh, look at that. Multi-camera shoot here. Yeah. Wow, impressive.
All right. Well, this is a bit sticky, but it's only a checklist card, so I'll put that one to the side here. Okay, this next one, I'm sure you'll remember because...
Excuse me.
Well, we're supposed to eat them, but yeah. Look, when we have a special guest on, I don't
know. What
be...
are we doing? What are we doing? By the way, I didn't see. Nice of you to, you know, show yourself here. Jeez.
Ariel, as you may or may not know, but when we get a checklist card, Lee is supposed to eat it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to eat it.
Wait, like legit eat it?
Yes.
You know, like,
by the way, I never really understood the checklist. Like, what was the point? Who actually looked at this?
I know. It's just a filler, really. I mean, that's the problem. You know,
it's always
just
a bummer.
Yeah. All right, this next guy you'll definitely get because he played on some of those early Bulls teams coming off the bench, a big guy out of Oklahoma. And you currently hear him still on the Bulls broadcast. He's the color commentator.
Why am I blanking? Stacey.
King.
Stacey King.
Yep.
Stacey King. Yeah,
yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. He does good work. Also, Adam Amin.
Yes, they
does
do
great work. I actually worked on that that Raptors Celtics Christmas game. Adam Amin and Richard Jefferson. And Adam was great. He left ESPN to take this job. It was a big deal for him. He's a Chicago guy. He works with Stacey. And every time I hear, like with the DeMar, you know, buzzer beaters and all that, I think he does a phenomenal job at play-by-play.
Yeah, he took over for Neil Funk there. And I think he's been really good for Chicago. I think they've got a great combination there. So that's great. All right, this next guy, you'll definitely know him because he set a record in the 90s. In 1990, in fact, it still stands today. It's one of those ones... Probably, man, surprise, it hasn't been. Who's that?
Is it an assist record?
It is an assist record, yes.
Is it Scott Skiles?
Ah, the Skiles is the limit, yes.
God.
Yeah.
I mean, how could I be so good at this? That's what I want to know.
You're in the wrong field. Yeah, maybe you should be in the basketball world full time, you know?
Tremendous hair, right? Yes. I mean, how often do you see someone balding in the NBA? Let it go. I actually thought got a raw deal as a head coach. I thought he was a lot better, and then I feel like it just kind of ended unceremoniously for him. And one of those early building blocks to the eventual, you know, Shaq Penny dynasty. You ever see the 30 for 30 on those teams?
Yes.
On them? It's a really great one. I really enjoy that one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
magic moment.
You just wonder really what would have happened if Shaq had stayed and not gone to the Lakers there. Because Penny's career kind of tailed off after that as well, unfortunately. But they were so
injuries
much fun to
well.
Watch there. Yeah,
there's a great scene in that 30 for 30 about that NBA and NBC broadcast on a Sunday afternoon where they weren't sure if Shaq was going to play or not, and he shows up in the middle of the game. You remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, like, it was crazy how it all played out. I remember watching it. Brian Hill was the coach, and there was some beef between them, and Jim Gray reported that he was being punished. I mean, it just... amazing memories.
Oh, yeah. That was monumental when he left Orlando to sign with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
I
remember where I was when I found out.
Oh, like, really?
In the newspaper. I was in summer camp. What was that?
96 it was.
96,
Yeah.
Reading in the newspaper, USA Today, and you're like, Shaq going to the Lakers. And that was a crazy summer with like massive deals. I feel like just like a seismic shift in the league.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen Winning Time yet on HBO?
No, Lakers one. No, not yet. Because it's
you got to watch it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to get to it. Yeah, it's like
you
a four-part series.
Only
it?
One? No, 11 part.
Oh, 11. Wow. Okay.
On that first season only, mainly the Magic rookie year, Jerry Buss buying the Lakers. I actually just interviewed Jeff Perlman, who wrote the book Showtime that was turned into the show. And, you know, sometimes when they turn these real sports stories into shows or movies, it's a little hokey.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Right.
There's only been one episode that aired every Sunday. And I feel like for you, like a real old school basketball fan, you will like it as well. Like there's like Norm Nixon is there and just like Jamal Wilkes, like just some classic, obviously not the real guys, but their characters. And you learn like if Jerry West was as he is being portrayed in the show, Jerry West isn't the saint that we all thought he was.
Well, Mark Stein had some words about that in his Substack. He didn't think it was an accurate portrayal.
Oh, interesting. Of Jerry West. I have to read that. I have to read that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's very, very good read. Yeah. But that was, for me, I mean, my first sort of love was the Lakers just because, you're a kid.
Oh, you got to watch it then.
Yeah. Well, great. But next card is a legendary. He started his career and he ended his career with the Lakers. And. But he never won a championship with the Lakers. In fact, he had his heartbreaking moment came against the Lakers. And he was involved in a huge trade. Was this? Yeah, he was involved in a big trade in 96 to get a special player to the Lakers.
Eddie Jones.
No, not Eddie Jones. This guy's not an American.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Vladdy.
Vladdy, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
He was in the Kobe trade, wasn't he, to Charlotte?
He was, he was, yes. I mean, if you would have given me the not an American off the bat, that would have been easy.
Okay, I'll give you, if you can tell me who the ref is in the background there, I'll give you that one then.
Oh, damn.
You should know him. He's an ESPN guy.
Yeah, yeah. They go to him. Yes, of course. They go to him in the freaking thing in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Let's send it over to... oh, my God. This is going to kill him.
He never disagrees. Disagrees with the calls that made by the refs.
Oh, my God. First name?
Steve.
Oh, Steve Javi.
That's right. Did you ever meet him in your time there?
No. No, I guess he was tucked away in that, you know, Sakakis.
He wasn't an ESPN person per se.
Right.
All right, this next guy, he was a one-time All-Star. I think he made it in 92 in Orlando, a diminutive point guard. He had one huge season. He won most improved player, averaged like 26 and 10 for the Bullets. And then I think he was traded to the Nuggets after that. Had a kind of unusual shooting style because he was so small. He had to sort of heave the ball up.
I know exactly who you're talking about. And oh, my God.
I mean, remarkable one season. He averaged like 26 and 10. But then...
Wow.
It sort of just, that was it. He peaked.
This is going to kill me. Obviously, it's not Muggsy Bogues.
No.
Obviously, it's not Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
No, definitely not.
I see him. I see his face. I see the Bullets jersey. I see everything. A short guy.
Yeah, he's got a very simple name.
Yes. Something like, Edwards?
Not quite, but you're along the, you know, think of just a simple...
Oh, it's going to kill me. This is going to bother me for days.
If you were to scratch your throat, you might sort of scratch something that might remind you of him. Think about what's in there. What can you feel when you scratch your neck there?
Adam's apple? Oh, yes. Adams. You've given... Wow, I'm like this is me turning 40.
Yeah,
it's gonna kill me. Golly, just
think of the most famous basketballer ever, greatest basketballer ever, and then just scratch your neck and it'll come.
Yeah, there it is. Number 20. He was number 23, right?
No,
Michael Adams.
No, number 10. Well, he's number 10 here for Washington. I don't. He may have been 23 at another stop in his career.
That's
a bad one. Yeah, but see, he's one of those memorable, unmemorable guys.
Yeah,
you know? Because it's like. You just don't really like after
he
that
was
one.
Like, he was like a discount Muggsy Bogues,
basically. Yeah, and he you know erupted, had that great season.
Yes,
and then it was like downhill after that. So, okay, this next one, this one's a bit of a tough one. I really haven't got much to offer about this guy other than to let me see if I can give you. So his first name is a famous Lakers executive who we're just talking about. And then, I don't even know really where to go with this guy. He was out of Louisiana State, 6'8".
Team?
Orlando. Yeah.
It's not Jeff Turner, is it?
Oh, no, it's Jerry Reynolds. So you got the first. Yeah, I mean, you know. We've had a pretty good crop of guys, to be honest. So you have to sort of just...
I mean, that is a tough one.
That's a tough one, yeah. That's
I wouldn't know who Jerry... I mean, if Jerry Reynolds, you know, came to my house right now to say hello, I wouldn't know.
No, I don't think many of us would. Okay, we've got another one of these weird ones. We've got a club membership offer. I haven't seen one of those before. Yeah. So
eat it.
Canadian orders are $6 each extra. It's $29.95 for Americans, $35. Okay. For Canadians. Okay, next one. Well, you'll definitely get this next one because this guy's most famous moment in his career came when he got dunked on so hard that he's got a nickname from being dunked on because the guy who threw it down on him just climbed the ladder, hammered it down, and then pointed at him. And he was just pointing at him the whole time like that, sort of like a, almost like an Usain Bolt pointing at him. And this guy is, this guy is just known for...
Wait, we're talking about the guy who got dunked or the guy who did the dunk?
No, the guy who got dunked on for the Golden State Warriors against the Sonics. I know you can pick.
Yeah, well, you're talking about Sean Kemp.
He dunked on this guy.
Dunked on the Warrior guy, and he has a nickname about the dunk.
Yeah, I mean when you think of this guy, you say it's the something something.
He was a big man.
Big man, very big man. Yeah. Yeah, he was like 7 footer, I think. Yeah, definitely a 7 footer, a big guy.
Wasn't from Lebanon, was he?
No, he wasn't. No, who are you thinking of there? Is that
Ronnie Cycli?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, not Ronnie Cycli. This guy was number 53. What else can I tell you? What else?
Number 50. When I always think of 53, I think of James Edwards.
Right. Yeah, Buddha. Yeah. Yeah. This guy. Yeah, he got dunked on, and he's just.
His name is.
Yeah.
Can you tell me anything more about him? What other teams did he play for?
He might have ended up playing in Seattle, actually, but you know, his most memorable days for me certainly with the Warriors. I don't know if you've got the YouTube link over there, but a few of the people there are sort of guessing.
Oh, I don't do that. I can't. I'm not looking at anything.
Right.
I wish I would have done that earlier. I didn't even think of that.
What happens if you get a pain? Like you get like a if you've been out in the sun too long, you might get it. Or if you wear a pair of shoes that are too tight, you might get some of these on your feet, on your toes.
A cramp?
No, it's more like a skin irritation that can sort of, you know.
What the hell?
A blister. I'm thinking of a blister.
Eczema?
No, a blister.
A blister?
Yeah. The Lister blister, Alton Lister.
Oh, Alton, yeah. De golly. Honestly, I have to say, I don't know. What is the term that you're talking about? You've been Alton Listered?
Yeah, the Lister blister.
Damn.
Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's one of the most memorable dunks.
I'm a little disappointed in myself here.
Well, you've had a pretty... I mean, you've cleaned up pretty well.
No, I'm disappointed.
Well, you know. Yeah. Oh, well.
Was that the last one?
No. I've got... Oh, okay. Well, I've got an absolute... well, man, I mean, this is perfect. I'm wearing the guy's jersey. I mean...
Oh, wow. I mean, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Represent.
The former shopkeeper.
Oh, look at that guy. Oh, I mean, the non-sexual crush that I had on that man. I mean, I just loved everything about him. In fact, my wife's initials, JS, I met my wife in 1994. When I would talk about my wife to my friends, I would refer to her as John Starks, just as a code word, so people wouldn't know who we were actually talking about.
Right. What That's about him? Have you crossed paths with him in any professional
Yes,
field?
There was like some Chelsea Piers in New York. They were having like some kids day,
right?
And I didn't realize the entrance fee. It was for some sort of charity, so it was like, oh, there's games, there's this, there's food for kids. I was like, oh, let's go here. It was a January kind of cold, depressing day, a Sunday. And then I get there and it's like $150 a person. I was like, what the hell is this? Well, it was worth it because John Starks was there taking pictures and signing autographs, in addition to like other New York sporting legends.
Right.
But I went straight for Starks, took the picture, told him the story about, referring to his wife. That was great. I know that, you know, he got heat for game 7 and all that stuff, but they don't make it to game 7 without him. Yeah. I loved his fire.
Yeah.
He would point to the jersey and the chest. And I he kind of reminded me of myself a little bit because I used to be quite the fiery player, and I would lose my cool and I would get a lot of technicals and I would do stupid things, and he did stupid things. He headbutted Reggie Miller. I will always have love for John Starks.
In the book, Chris Herring's book as well, I mean, people just say they just love John Starks for how he represented New York and the Knicks, and he played and he fought, and he had a few mistakes and a few slip-ups along the way, but there was never any question about where his heart was and his effort and all those other things, and that's what makes him the legend that he is. I mean, he obviously bounced around a fair bit after that. I think he went to the Warriors and the Jazz and the Heat, maybe.
Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls. And but he's a Knick. He's a Knick forever.
I loved when he would shoot a free throw.
All right, this next one was an all-star, former Raptor. I think of him mainly on the San Antonio Spurs, a real good defensive player.
Spurs and Bucks?
Yes.
Alvin Robertson?
That's the one, Alvin Robertson. Good pull. Nice one. I think he might have been the first ever Raptors...
starting point guard and maybe first point.
That's the one I meant. Yeah. I think he hit the first bucket in Raptors history.
He also had some legal troubles.
He did. Yes. Okay. Next one. Oh, another guy who's an absolute legend of the game. Sadly, no longer with us. Died probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Former MVP, three-time MVP, and just a great player, and had that great. he's got that saying that he said when he was asked about the playoffs and what was going to happen. He just said,
"Oh, Moses.
Moses Malone." Yeah. There you go.
Fo-fo-fo.
That's right.
Yeah.
Milwaukee Bucks, Moses Malone.
That's, yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, that is. And Patrick Ewing's first point as a Knick, where tip jam over Moses Malone. Wow. He was on the Sixers.
Yeah. And Moses was in Houston, and then Akeem came along, and I think he worked with Akeem for a year or two, and then they were like, we don't need you anymore, Moses.
Yeah.
And
also, one of the first guys to go from high school to the NBA.
That's right. Yes. Very good. Okay, this next guy had a great college career for Michigan. Went on to get drafted early by the Atlanta Hawks, but never really panned out in the NBA. Didn't sort of play all that long.
Nets as well? Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks, he was drafted.
Oh, Mookie Blaylock.
No, not Mookie. No, this guy was never that good. Like Mookie made an all-star team. This guy never did.
Point guard?
Point guard, yeah.
Ramil Robinson.
Ah, yeah. Man, how now you're that? Flying. Yeah.
I'm back. I believe he played for the Nets.
He did he, in the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember him because he was on that Michigan team that
88, right?
89 against Seton Hall.
Right,
and,
right.
There was every time he scored, his mum stood up and it had Ramil Robinson's mum
really?
A t-shirt. Yeah, yeah. Because that game was beamed live in Australia because Andrew Gaze was playing. And so everyone was just like, and Seton Hall, I don't remember what seed they were exactly, but they weren't expected to go all the way to the final. So, you know, the more games they won, just the hype around it was incredible. So,
how about the multiple Andrew Gaze references on this program?
You can never have too many is what I've learned. Yeah. He was on our show in Vegas, actually, which was awesome. Wow. Yeah, because, you know, growing up as a kid, Andrew Gaze was our Michael Jordan. And so, you know, to get him on the show and talk to him and stuff was incredible. All right, we've got two more and they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough, I'll be honest here. If you get either of these ones, this is just gravy because they're so tough. I really don't even have much to say about this guy. Wow. Well, maybe this guy's related to a former Raptor who was a really good athlete in the sort of 2010s, but he never quite made it as a good basketball player. He bounced around, but he was more like a track athlete out there. He had a twin brother, in fact. Man.
Twin brother.
Yeah. I can't even think of his twin brother's name, but do you remember Joey Graham from the Raptors?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Graham. I don't know if he's related or not.
Oh, yeah. But, you're just guessing.
I'm just throwing words out now.
God, that is a tough one.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And then this last one here as well.
Oh, I can't end like this.
Oh, I know, it's a tough one as well.
With these big scrubs.
Guy. I know. You killed it there with Ramil Robinson. I should have tried to sort of fudge it so that he ended.
Yeah, hard. Yeah.
Big guy for the Dallas Mavericks. Has a colorful last name and he's a colorful last name, and if Austin Powers was to describe this guy, oh god, this is a weird clue.
What?
I don't even know what I'm saying now.
Shagalicious?
Sort of. Randy White.
Oh, right. Oh god.
Any
Austin Powers?
Yeah. Do you have any
Randy Wright? No.
Any stories about Randy White? No.
No. Although I do love those jerseys.
Yes, they are awesome. Those jerseys. They're great. Well, pretty good overall anyway. I mean,
I don't like the way this ended, honest.
Well, what about this, right? We'll take one more quick break and then I'll give you a real modern day pack. Like only eight cards in the pack here.
Honestly, I actually think I do better in the 90s than the modern day.
Well, we can hey, listen, I've got here we go. This one from 99-2000, there's seven
cards.
Can
we need to end on a better note than this? All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make you stick around.
I'm taking up all your time here. It's been over an hour, so I can stay here and do this with. All right, we'll do these ones then. 99-2000. We'll have a quick break.
Which brand?
Tops.
Okay, I can live with that. Yeah.
Antoine Walker on the front cover there. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back in the Classic Factory for the third segment here of Pop and Packs.
One more pack. One more pack. One more pack.
I love that you didn't want to go out on a low note.
Even though it was tough. I mean.
Right? And by the way, I did in the break, I did open up the YouTube channel because right. You reminded me of that.
Yeah.
You have a lovely chat over there. You know, sometimes the YouTube chat can be a bit of a cesspool, but everyone is so supportive. I actually see my old friend Olajuwon Dream, who writes to me sometimes.
Right.
It's not, you know, the toxic cesspool that you see in other places. So Shout out to you guys for fostering that kind of community.
Yeah, overall it is. I mean, we obviously, you know, it's not like that all the time for every show, but overall we do have a pretty good group. We see the same sort of names and guys and girls in there, and they talk to each other as well. So the stream team is what we like to call them. So
I love it.
It's great to see a few of them here. Now, just one thing real quickly here, Ariel, too. I know I've taken up plenty of your time here, but one thing that does really interest me, Amanda Nunes lost, what was that, December? She lost to Juliana Pena.
Yeah. There's
talk of a rematch. I mean, have you got any scoop? Can you give me like a Wojnarowski
scoop? What is this?
Scoop?
All of a sudden you're asking me for scoops?
Yeah,
where did this come from? This is definitely not from you. Someone asked you to ask me this question.
No,
there's no chance.
It's because
all of a sudden, we've been talking for an hour and 50 minutes, and you're like, hey, about that Amanda Nunes. What is the true story behind this question? I'd like to know first and foremost. Who told you to ask this?
Well, because she really... I think she's an incredible athlete and fighter and mother now as well.
Yes.
And I was just completely shocked because, again, I don't follow it super close, but I know that that was considered, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the greatest upset in UFC history when she
lost.
Up
there. Up there. Not number one. Number one for me is Matsuera over GSP back in the day, 2006, I do believe.
Right.
Also, actually, in your home country of Australia, there was a huge upset. Holly Holm, she defeated Ronda Rousey. There have been a few. They're going to fight in the summer. They're actually doing a season of The Ultimate Fighter right now as coaches, and they'll do the rematch in July if all pans out. So actually, Amanda has changed a lot since that loss. She left her team, who she was with for a number of years, her manager. You know, sometimes they lose these fights for the first time in years, and they make these wholesale changes.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe she felt like it was a long time coming. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know. But I'm really curious to see how she looks in the rematch because of all these changes.
Yeah.
So I would circle July 2nd or July 30th as a potential date for that rematch.
In Vegas, I'm guessing, will it be out there?
July 2nd will be in Vegas. July 30th doesn't have a date just yet. It could be in Anaheim.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, talking of Ronda Rousey, of course, Amanda Nunes completely destroyed her in the first round when that was Ronda's fight after Holly, wasn't it, the first fight?
Yes, she was a shell of her former self. She didn't do any media before the fight. She looked like a different person.
Yeah.
Like she just, everything about, she went in there and she got scorched in like 45 seconds or something like that, 51 seconds, and has never fought again. She does the pro wrestling now, but she has never done MMA since then and will never do MMA.
Well, okay. So, okay. No real scoop here because, look, during the draft, the NBA draft last year, I got a scoop. I got a Woj bomb before Woj, before Shams, before everyone. Josh Giddey, the Australian, being taken number six by the Thunder. I called that like 12 hours before it happened.
He's great. You broke it?
I broke it.
Wow. Now here's the thing. Did you get credit for it?
Of course not.
I have to say, NBA reporters very bad at giving credit.
Yes.
If I'm being honest.
Yes.
I watch, you know, I like to, I follow baseball, and I find they don't credit each other very well.
Yeah.
Like they don't credit each other at all. I don't like that. And especially you, you deserve that. And you say you were what, 12 hours ahead of the competition?
Yeah. And I've got the receipts because we were doing a show live at the time. I was in Amsterdam, oddly enough. I was doing a show live at the time and someone slid into my DMs and said, I've got the scoop for you. Josh Giddey, number six to the Thunder. And I was like, wow, I haven't seen him sort of, you know, that high. He was up there sort of maybe 10 to 15. Someone said he's going to the Thunder. They had a workout with him and it was great. And it came off.
But now, was it a reliable source or did you just run with it?
No, this was... I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't from the source that it came from. This guy...
Wow, so basically what you're saying is Sam Presti sent you a DM and said, we're going with Josh. That's what you're saying.
The funny thing about it is the Thunder are actually watertight with all of their stuff. There's not many leaks at all. So, Yeah.
Good for you.
Got a good one. So I'm looking for another. I'm trying to sort of branch out a bit here, you know? So maybe
okay, you're looking for another scoop. All right.
You're popping packs with me. Maybe I can somehow, you know, help you.
Tweet what I just told you and I'll retweet it and you'll get a ton of followers.
I might try that. I might. Yeah, okay. All right.
According
anyway.
To my inside information, Amanda Nunes, I'll be like, wow, look at Lee.
I say, how do you know that? I say, I've got scoops. Okay, I know some people connected. All right, here we go. We got these 1999 2000 okay, NBA tip off tops cards with Antoine Walker on the front.
Yes,
big Antoine. He was, I think he was on NBA shimmy. TV the other day. Oh yeah, the shimmy. That was great. All right, let's see how we do here. Okay, this guy was a point guard. I think he was a backup point guard, a lefty for the Indiana Pacers. Played in the finals in 2000. And he certainly wasn't the worst player on the team. This guy was a small guy. I think he was only about 5'10 as well. Had a pretty 5'11 they've got him listed at here. Played for the Pacers, and I think he bounced around a little bit. He played back up to Mark Jackson on those Indiana teams.
Now, he's not an NBA referee, right?
I don't know. No, he's not. No, I think you're thinking of Hayward Workman.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not Hayward Workman. This guy was,
I know exactly.
Yeah, he's a muscly little, you know, stocky guy because he was smaller. Like I say, he wasn't the worst player on the team.
I hated those Pacers teams. They battled the Knicks all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And why is the name Turner keep coming? It's not Turner, right?
No, it's not Turner. It's not Turner.
I could see him.
There's a clue in the he's not the worst.
Oh yes, Travis Best.
Travis Best. There you go.
All right. You know, I actually feel like I'm better at early '90s than late '90s, so I'm curious to see how this goes.
Well, I think you'll get this one. In fact, I'm going to say it's an absolute lock that you'll get this one because this guy made his name as a Raptor, and he hit a huge shot in the Raptors' first ever playoff series victory in New York City against the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And you still now you hear him on the broadcasts from time to time for the Raptors. He's a beloved fan, a beloved figure by Raptors fans. And
he's got Villanova.
Alvin
Williams.
Alvin Boogie Williams. There you go. Yeah, remember that shot he hit in Game 5?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How did you feel in that series?
It was weird because like all my friends had become Raptors fans, and of course, like, I had a very soft spot in my heart for the Raptors and the Grizzlies, and I always wanted them to succeed.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, their first playoff series, it has to be against the Knicks. And then the second one, too, if you recall.
That's right.
And then they beat them in the second one.
That's right.
I felt weird about it. And of course, like Oakley's there, and I felt weird about that. But once they played the Sixers in that second year, and then the whole graduation thing with Vince, I was definitely rooting for them. They had a few, and then they ended up getting Chris Childs too, and he was a former Knick. So yeah, it was weird. I would have preferred them to play someone else.
Yeah, well, it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
I mean,
but that's the thing when you've got loyalties that are really pulling on where you're born and raised and where you grew up.
Oh yeah, I was a Knicks fan before the Raptors even existed.
Exactly,
I couldn't just
drop
them, and I loved them so much. I remember after Game 3, the Knicks swept them in the first year.
That's right.
And I remember Vince at the podium. Like his last thing that he said was, Mama told me there'd be days like this. And he was all like sad and he walked off. And I loved Vince as well. I mean, I remember, Golden State 2000. That was very exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, that Sixers Raptors series was incredible. You know, Vince going for 50, Iverson going for 50 twice.
Then,
one shot could have done it. Okay. Well, we've got our first repeat guy here. And I do not remember this guy on the Lakers because he was a Knick. And a Maverick, and you've taken a piss next to him.
Oh, Derek, yeah. I do remember him. Yeah, later in his career, he was on the – did he win? I wonder if he did.
He may. Well, 99-2000, he would have, yeah.
That's their – yeah.
Yeah, I really don't remember him, though, on the Lakers. But, yeah, by then he was insurance really coming off the bench. But I had him on. Did I tell you already? Yeah, I did have him on. He was incredible at the storytelling. He was
– oh, my God, I love that stuff.
Yeah, he was just so much fun. And you know, you talk
about 94.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because him
did
and
Vernon, he talk about not playing Rolando in Game 7?
I don't recall that specifically. It was more because him and Vernon Maxwell were buds, and they were going at each other in that series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I tried to get Vernon. Maxwell. Yeah. Yeah, but you would have loved him on your team.
Of course.
You?
Of course.
Yeah. He's one of those guys.
Remember when he went into the stands?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mad Max. I mean, he had that nickname for a reason.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, you'll definitely remember this guy because he was a Nick for a few years, and he came over from, how can I say this? This guy was a big part of the late 90s Knicks teams. Well, it was very late, very late. Yeah, he came over, I think, in 1998, and a fan favorite as well. There had some great hair, great pickup, really. Considering how he got to New York, it was very
spree.
Yeah, spree. Yeah, the circumstances which got him there.
I mean, you could have just said he choked PJ.
I love him. Would he have tapped out? You think? In
God, what a legend! And again, I had mixed feelings because they traded Starks for him.
Yeah,
and I was sad to see Starks go. But then that year, that 99. By the way, if you want an old school book, crazy to say it's old school now, but you know it has been what. 23 years, amazingly. The aforementioned Frank Isola, who I think is one of the best at covering the league, and Mike Wise wrote a book on that season only called Just Ballin'. And, you know, it was a crazy year because it was the lockout, shortened season, and then Van Gundy was on the verge of getting fired.
Yeah.
And then there were talks that they were talking to Phil Jackson. And then they squeak in as the eighth seed and they, you know, the Houston shot in the first round. Just an amazing story. And unfortunately, Ewing gets injured in the conference championship and the conference finals. And they just kind of ran out of steam. And that Spurs team was so good.
Well, and that's what Chris Herring was saying as well. Like Patrick Ewing felt they were a better chance against them than the Rockets. But they just didn't have the horses by then. The bodies.
No, they finally had the pieces, right? Yeah. They had Houston, they had LJ, they had Camby, they had Spree. Like they finally had the guys, but they just, you know, by the end it was Tim Duncan and Chris Dudley going toe to toe.
Yeah, that's right. And so, you're just hoping to survive. They didn't get swept though, did they? I think they lost in five.
My graduation was during game three and they won game three. And I was watching it in the back of the graduation on like an old school mobile TV pre-cell phone.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
All right. Well, this next guy started his career with the New York Knicks and got traded early. I think he went to the San Antonio Spurs. Then he bounced around to the Wizards. Few other teams. I think he was a Raptor briefly. And these the trivia comes up of the guy who best player to never make an all-star team, this guy's always up there because he was a good point guard and, you know, pretty fancy, good handles.
Oh, yeah, Rod Strickland.
Rod Strickland, yeah.
Yeah, great shout-out in the in Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Triumph. Oh, yeah, he was great. Oh, man, look at that. That is 1999 right there. That Wizards jersey.
And that's against Kerry Kittles, I think that is. If I see that
who
correctly.
Does some net stuff still till this day.
Okay, great. Well, I've got a bit of a weird card here. I don't know what quite it is, but it's okay. It's called a double-double. So I'll just give you it's a double-double for this guy who's known mainly. He was kind of a bit like the Westbrook before Westbrook as far as just getting triple-doubles. Spent most of his career, I guess, with Phoenix and New Jersey. Ended up being a Knick. I think he ended his career as a New York Knick. Picked up a championship with the Dallas Mavericks. And California guy. He's a current coach in the NBA.
Jason Kidd?
Jason Kidd, yeah. The Daily Double. The Daily Double. So
yes, he ended his career with the Knicks.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That was a great year, 2012-2013.
Yeah, because it was after the championship, and I think Mark Cuban was going to re-sign him, or he was going to re-sign, and then he took the money and ran to New York there. So
yeah, and I think like he missed his last like 28 shots as a Knick. Yeah. Something like that.
I think when he retired, he was third in 3-pointers made too, or something like that.
Wow.
in history. Yeah, now he's probably 25th or something. All right, we've got two more to go, and I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy how we're going to end this one because one guy, the first one here, he was a one-time All-Star, had an incredible All-Star weekend back in 1989. He was a starter for the West. He won the three-point shootout, and I think he was the first guy ever to make 1,000 three-pointers. Think of him as a Sonic mainly.
Ricky Pierce.
Not Ricky Pierce, no.
Oh, wow.
This guy was a shooter. And then he was a Spur as well there for a while. Dallas Maverick. He got traded. It was a big trade. He got was in from Dallas and he went to Seattle. And
in this pack, he's on which team?
He's on the Sonics. So he must have gone back to Seattle because he went Dallas, Seattle, Milwaukee, San Antonio, Denver, and then ended back in Seattle where it started. And
Ellis.
Dale Ellis.
Sorry. Why was I thinking Ricky Pierce? Pierce definitely made an all-star team.
He did. In 91, Ricky Pierce made an all-star team, and he was a shooter off the bench there for those Sonics teams.
God, I haven't thought of Dale Ellis in like decades.
He actually lives not far from here, I think. He lives...
really?
Yeah, I think he lives about 25, 30 minutes out of Atlanta. Yeah, I follow him on Instagram, and he follows me. I've been trying to get him on as well, but
that'd be fun.
Yeah, I know, it'd be awesome.
I'd love to get a Sam Perkins cameo on this. What about Sam Perkins?
I tried to get the Big Smooth. No response. I mean, no I'm just DMing guys.
What are you doing? You're just randomly DMing these guys?
Yeah, just saying, hey, you know, listen.
What about Never Nervous?
I haven't asked him actually. Haven't asked him. No.
Who's the most random one that you were like, there's no chance this guy is going to respond, and he responded and came on?
Well, I mean, I've had James Worthy on, Dominique Wilkins.
Oh, sick. That's a great one.
Yeah, Ralph Sampson.
Yeah. Just from a cold DM.
Well, James Worthy, a friend, I don't know if you know Ben Lyons.
Of course.
Yeah, Ben Lyons is sort of connected to him there, and so I put a little slid into Ben's DMs, and he slid into James's DMs, and it happened. So, yeah, I mean, Magic would be the one I'd love to get on as well. Because
I was just going
to
ask you, who's your dream guest?
Magic, because of the stories. I mean, he, you know, as a storyteller, you know that Dream Team documentary, when Magic talks, it's just so energetic and so much fun. So I'd love to get him. I mean, obviously Michael, but that's impossible to get him.
Who's like the most realistic dream guest that you think you could get? Magic might be tough, right?
I just need an in. I need the in because I think Magic would actually be up for it if I could just get someone to poke him. Oh, the most was Reggie. I wanted to get Reggie on it because he had some great battles, obviously, in the 90s against the Celtics and the Knicks. I was working there with Reggie, but came up short. So,
wait, he denied you?
He denied me, yes.
You know what? I never liked Reggie. Come on. What do you say? I'm too busy?
No, well, we used to work together at Turner.
Yeah.
And,
what was his excuse?
I was working the Turner angle there, and he politely declined was the last thing I heard from him. Yeah.
You ever try for Shaq?
Yes, tried for Shaq too, but never heard
of him. I think Shaq would do it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, he's in Atlanta too. I should try him again, you know. I've sort of, you know, once the season's all started up again, it sort of died off a bit there. But
Charles?
I've got Charles. I saw him not too long ago. I had him. I had Daryl Morey on a while ago.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was a fun one.
You know who I did have on? Xavier McDaniel. He was incredible.
Oh, I saw that one too.
Yeah.
That was a great one. I loved X-Men. Awesome.
Yeah, he was so good.
Also, you know what would be a fun one? EJ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, maybe we should work together on this one.
I mean, that's what I do. I book guests.
Yeah.
In the 13 years of doing my show, I'm the only one to ever book a guest.
Wow. So you know how hard it is. I mean, how many no's do you get before you get a yes, do you think, most of the time?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's probably now. The chase is fun, right?
Yeah. Probably now it's not as hard for you now. But
But I'm still like asking The Rock to come on and all these things. And it's like, why you do it? But, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a yes.
Exactly.
It's great.
That's exactly right. Sometimes you just get that yes and it's like, it's awesome. So I've had a few who have kind of ghosted me as well. You know, they said, yeah, I'm coming on. And then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Name names. Let's go.
No, well, I'll save that for the cold mic rather than the hot mic. All right. Well, let's wrap it up here. And very glad to end on this one because this guy is also a Knicks legend. Ooh. I mean, started his career with the Charlotte Hornets, but ended his career with the Knicks. Hit a huge shot there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't even need to say his name. What a perfect way.
This is better. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah.
I mean, those jerseys with the black. Against those Cleveland Cavaliers guys, I can't quite see who he's playing against there. Is that Bobby Phils? No,
no. It's. I think that's Derek Anderson and then Gerald. I don't think it's Gerald Henderson. I'm not sure who that other Henderson is there. But
those are great memories. 1999. Yeah. I remember he hit that shot.
Oh yeah.
Questionable call, of course. I could admit it. You know, was it a foul? Was it not a foul?
and he had the big beard.
Yeah.
The jersey, yeah. The one thing about that jersey was like the neck was so big.
Yeah.
Like you could see like all his chest hair. It was weird that they cut it like that. And then I think he did the walk-off interview with Jim Gray, and he said, Allahu Akbar. And I was like, what? Is Larry Johnson Muslim all of a sudden? What's going on? But yes, that was great.
Wow, I did not know that. But
go watch the post game interview for like the walk off, and it's like complete madness.
Wow.
And one other thing that I love about that moment was he hits the three.
Yeah.
And you remember he runs, and Chris Childs runs up to him and is like, "Calm down, you have to hit the free throw, right?" Yeah. I remember that. And you know, his free throws, like I always felt like they just made it because he would go on his tippy toes, and I was like, "Oh, if he bricks this, like he would shoot up here. If he bricks this, this would be horrible." Makes the shot, and they almost scored on the other end. And then it was complete pandemonium. I think it was, if now I'm going real deep, it was Tom Hammond and I think Bill Walton who called it on a Saturday evening for NBC. And Jim Gray did the walk-off, and it's complete pandemonium. And he goes, Allahu Akbar. And I was like, what? And my parents speak Arabic. They're from the Middle East. And I was just like, when did Larry Johnson become Muslim? Last year the Knicks were doing a Twitter Spaces. And they asked me to come on before, I think it was game three of the Hawks series. And Larry Johnson came on.
Wow.
And I completely hijacked the whole thing. And it was just like, it was like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live with Paul McCartney. I was like, you remember that time?
That was
awesome. And I brought up the Allahu Akbar to him.
Yeah. Well, shukran for your time here today.
Salaam alaikum, my brother.
Yeah. I hope you're not going to ask me for backsheesh after this one.
No.
Those are the two words I remember from traveling through the Middle East. It's shukran and backsheesh. Everywhere you go, backsheesh. I'm like, wow, crazy stuff. But hey, this has been awesome, Ariel. Thanks again, amazing. Man. I mean, this is, I know you're a very busy person. You've got tons going on. So
this was the highlight of my week. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I know you do have a weakness here for 90s basketball, especially this sort of stuff.
I love it.
So,
and I appreciate it. I think this isn't your typical day for taping. So I appreciate you working with me and anytime. And I would just like to say unequivocally, I mean, feel free, JD, whomever is in the back, clip this off, cut it up. Post it before every guest comes on and after. I will beat every single one of those jabronis easily. Okay. Yeah, sure. I missed a couple here and there, but they cannot hold a candle to my 90s basketball knowledge. They call me Hilwani for a reason. It isn't just a nickname. It's a lifestyle. Okay. It's a mindset. And I will lay the smack down on every one of those guys. So, you know, if you want to set it up, just let me know and I'll be there.
This is
no
like
problem.
If Mike Breen or Marv Albert or someone said, listen, Steph Curry, I can beat you in a 3-point shootout, all right? I can take you guys.
Wait, what are you trying to say? I have a chance?
No, you have a chance for sure. I'm just saying you're turning into like what you sort of interview all the time, you know? Like it's all
that's what I love. I'm a product of 1980s pro wrestling as well.
And
I always wanted to be a basketball player first, but I quickly realized that wasn't going to happen. So I had to develop the characters. But by the way, as they say in the wrestling business, that's a shoot. Okay, I'm not playing a character here. I'm shooting on these guys right now. No one could. I mean, Ben as well. I think he fancies himself a basketball aficionado. Yeah. I mean, what do you want to talk about? Inside stuff? You want to talk about Willow Bay? You want to talk about Ahmad Rashad? We could talk about these people if you want. I wasn't a big fan of the Summer Sanders era. Right. Lovely lady, but it just got a little weird afterwards, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because that was the same. In Australia, the first things we got were NBA action with Jim Fagan.
Ainigo does a great job with that.
Yes, he does. And then of course inside stuff as well. So I used to get up like 6 a.m. on a Saturday. It was never on the, you know, never prime time. Tape them all, watch them all. And it's been incredible. I got to interview Ahmad a few years ago at the finals and it was like, I can't believe I'm talking here to Ahmad, my main Rashad. Man.
What a legend. His wife, Felicia Rashad, ex-wife, was the guest speaker at my graduation.
Wow.
And I was more excited about the fact that Ahmad Rashad's wife was the guest speaker than, you know, Claire Huxtable being there just because of the connection. In fact, my brother's 40th birthday 2 years ago, I got him a cameo from Ahmad Rashad.
Oh, wow.
And it was a good one.
Wow.
What a voice.
Yeah, that's iconic. That husky sort of squeaky little voice.
Yes, and he looks great.
He does, yeah.
Remember when they would always show him hitting a three in a preseason game for the Sixers? They would always show that.
That's right. He played. He actually played in a game, which is
yes, he hit a three, a corner three.
There was what was it? There was something about I think David Stern. You know, when Inside Stuff launched, and they're like, he said to NBC, like, are you really going with a football guy to you know to do the basketball show?
Perfect.
But it worked out incredible. And now he's the only one who gets to speak to Michael. So
you always say, my main man, so-and-so, remember?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I said that to him.
We could do this all day. Yeah. We could do this all day.
All right. Yep. Thanks a lot, Ariel. It's been really awesome, man. And hopefully one day somewhere, now that things have started to, restrictions have started to lift, maybe we can do it in person in Vegas, New York, Atlanta, Toronto. Who knows? But anyway, everyone, go and follow Ariel. I'm sure you know who he is anyway from the UFC MMA world, but he's also a big basketball hoops head. So if you see him on the street, pop a pack of cards with Ariel. I guarantee he's going to answer them with you. So thanks a lot, Ariel. And Clipper Bros. Oh, no. No Clipper Bros for us.
Yeah, no Clipper Bros.
Sorry, JD. We'll see you on Monday, guys.